Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
You know that light bends, right? Einstein was able to prove it with his theory of relativity. But when it comes to a scientist being able to claim that a scientific theory stacks up, well, you need proof, don't you? That is where the town of Goondiwindi in Queensland was able to do Einstein an enormous favour back in 1922. Chris Adams is one of the authors of a series of books called Grave Tales. It tells interesting stories about people located in our graveyards. The latest book focuses on the graveyards in Queensland's Great Southwest, Ipswich to Augathella, and two people whose story he's telling to us tonight are Edwin Fletcher and Florence Munro, and you'll find out just how they were involved in helping Einstein as we tell the story. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Chris, let's start with Einstein and his theory of relativity and the idea that light bends. What did Einstein need to do to actually prove that his theory was correct?
Well, of course, everybody kind of believed that it was the Isaac Newton theory that was correct, the embellished story of the apple falling on his head from an apple tree. This heralded the theory of something called gravity existing. About 350 years ago, all that happened. Young Albert Einstein, in the meantime, working as a patent clerk, was working on some scientific papers, including the renowned equation E equals mc squared, plus this concept that that gravity didn't pull, it actually pushed. And to do that, he had to prove that light could be bent, a beam of light could be bent, which was a fairly difficult thing to do.
Okay, so how did he decide to go about proving it to everybody?
He figured that if the only time that you'd really be able to see the light from a distant star in a different place than it maybe should be if the light was being bent was when the moon got in front of the sun. In other words, when there was a total eclipse of the sun. There was one in 1919, which affected America and Africa, to which he sent people to try and prove his theory. The weather wasn't kind to them. Most people came away from thinking, well, perhaps he's right, but we're not certain yet. We want some proof, some further proof. And that happened in 1922, as you mentioned, when a total eclipse of the sun happened in our part of the world. It travelled down from Christmas Island through the northwest of Western Australia and then through Coongoola, Goondiwindi, Stanthorpe and Casino in this part of the world on the Queensland-New South Wales border.
Right, so investigations were done, weren't they, into look, where are we going to set people up to make these observations? And I think, was it three sites that were chosen?
Yeah, there were two main ones in Australia, Wallal in northwestern Australia and Goondiwindi here. There were some other smaller things happening, Casino and Stanthorpe and Coongoola, but the main ones were Wallal and Goondiwindi.
Mm. All right, and it became a national event, didn't it? I mean, the Prime Minister was involved. There were scientists being transported all over the country on the trains.
Yeah, the Prime Minister stepped in and offered the train that ran from Sydney to Perth to take things over to Western Australia. I think they had a few more problems there than they thought they might, not realising the size of the tides in that part of the world, and all the telescopes and equipment that had to be brought in, tons of it, into that part of the world had to be brought in from 4 miles, 6.5 kilometres out from the coast, because that's how far the tide went out.
Oh, goodness. Things weren't as difficult in Goondiwindi, though, were they?
They weren't. In fact, there were teams from Sydney, Melbourne and Queensland universities involved in Goondiwindi, all trying to see if they could be the ones that would prove that Einstein was right. So there was quite a collection of people there, and they chose the two people that you mentioned at the start of the story, Edwin Fletcher and his daughter Florence. Because they were keen photographers, because they lived in the town, they were given the task of trying to photograph the waves. When there's a total eclipse of the sun, there are these waves that sort of wriggle their way across the ground before and after, some sort of light effect. And their job was to photograph these waves to see if they could figure out just exactly what they were.
All right. So describe the setup, though, because didn't they need some sort of big sheets erected and you needed to know, that you're going to have the proper place to take these photographs?
Yeah, well, they had to have the right places for their dark rooms and huts and towers, places to put their telescopes as this thing happened. They had numbers of rehearsals so that when it actually happened, they'd get it right. The photographers would start photographing the waves before the eclipse started, and then they'd follow it through from there.
All right, what were they photographing it on? I mean, the waves of light were on the ground, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Right. So they're just taking photos of the ground.
Well, that's what their job was,
right?
And they were described the bands that came across the ground were described as about 3 inches wide and 3 inches apart, racing across the earth like millions of snakes. Their words, not mine.
So how many photos did they take? I guess this is the day when you've got to really load and unload your camera and really set it up, don't you? You can't just snap a million shots in a row.
And we're talking 1922,
exactly.
So, you know, we're not talking the sort of most recent technology. They would have been probably delighted with the photographs they got. We're not sure how many they took, but they were described later as visible distinctly in a series of waves, dark in colour, and zigzagged extraordinarily. So whatever they used, which would have been fairly primitive, obviously did the job.
So was this just something that scientists only were interested in Gundawindi, or did everyone get involved? Was it a bit of a party for the town?
Well, it made the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald and the Brisbane Courier Mail. So I gather it featured in Melbourne papers and Adelaide and Perth as well. Yeah, it was a big deal. And people came from all over the world, including California, to watch what was going on here, to measure whether this experiment that Einstein had talked about would actually work.
Chris Adams is with us. He's one of the authors of Grave Tales. The grave tales we're talking about now are they're the graves of Edwin Fletcher and Florence Munro. We'll find out where they are later. But he's telling us the story of the time that Gundawindi actually helped Einstein. Did Einstein come out or go to any of these?
No, he didn't. He remained presumably in Europe. He didn't go to them, but he did have to wait around, obviously, for some time for the results. It was quite an eerie experience by the sound of what happened there, described as the moon rapidly covering the face of the sun, the light becoming a bilious green colour, then suddenly day turned to night. People were able to look at the sun with the naked eye, and the scene for 3 minutes in this part of the world was undescribably lovely and eerie, said the Sydney Morning Herald.
Have you been in a total eclipse, Chris?
I have, actually.
Yeah. Does it sound like what the experience you had?
Yeah, I think so. It was certainly different. And the change is much greater than you expect. You kind of think, oh, it might go a bit dark where the sun is and we'll be able to look at it. But no, it doesn't. It does go almost like night.
So Einstein, as you said, had to wait. How long did he have to wait?
Numbers of months. And the results were being done by an American scientist in the US. And so he had to wait until this chap had finished his experiments. When he had, he announced to Einstein, and I'm sure a lot of other people's great pleasure, that he was correct, absolutely correct, that light did bend.
And so how did Gundawindi remember its role in this? I mean, obviously you've dug the story out, but, you know, are there people in Gundawindi talk about this?
Well, you don't exactly see the sort of giant telescope as you drive into town, but I think there is some memory of it. You know, I'm not quite sure. I didn't really go around and ask people whether they remembered it, but it's an interesting concept.
It is. And so what happened to Edwin in Florence after this big moment?
Oh, they went on to live out their lives in Gundawindi. Edwin was the local lawyer in town, and he also became the mayor. And his daughter Florence, she worked as a personal assistant to a businessman in town. Married that chap Earl Monroe. They were married for 28 years. Both of them rest in the. They're both in Gundawindi Cemetery. They are certainly Edwin is and Florence as well.
Chris, I just wonder when you write these books, how do you, is it chicken or egg? Do you wander through the graveyards and go, oh, this could be an interesting story?
I think it's egg before egg. We tried the chicken before eggs theory, and there simply aren't enough graves with the detailed description of what happened to the person there to be able to write things like this. So we start with the story that we want to find, then we find the people who were involved.
And have you found that you haven't been able to find graves of people who were tied up in really interesting stories?
Oh, yeah, have we ever. I've got some great yarns that I'd love to tell, but until I can find the remains of the people involved, we have to leave them alone.
All right, you might have to write different books, might you? A different theory. the graves we don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Chris, thanks so much for telling us about the time that Gundawindi helped Einstein on Nightlife tonight.
Good on you, Susan.
Chris Adams, one of the authors of the Grave Tales book. The latest book is Grave Tales, Queensland's Great Southwest.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.